Well, I will be speaking tomorrow night at Holt's Lake Barbecue in Smithfield at 6:30. Not about politics, but hopefully a message of inspiration and what is possible only in America. I'm not sure if there are any seats left, but you can call WTSB at 919-934-6789 to check on a reservation. I'll be back again on Thursday, October 27, but that one I know is sold out. Here's the number to call for tomorrow night. There may be a handful of seats left, but they're very scarce. 919-934-6789. That's the number to call. Now, I've been spending many hours over several weeks researching voter fraud. Liberal Democrats and the mainstream media say that we don't have a problem with it, that there are very few instances of it. But that, my friends, is a lie. I will prove that next Monday in my commentary on massive voter fraud. I hope you'll listen in. Don't you find it odd when liberal Democrats ignore the message and try to shoot the messenger? Now, I don't like hacking of computers, but that's our world today, and we might as well get used to it. Democrats complain about where the evidence comes from rather than the evidence itself. I never email anything that I am afraid for somebody else to read. The mainstream media covers for Clinton and Democrats. So where are Americans supposed to turn to for truth about corruption? All Americans, Republican and Democrat, if they have the least bit of integrity, should hope and pray that WikiLeaks or somebody else will publish the 33,000 emails that Hillary had bleached off of her private server. Because either of those emails will prove that all 33,000 destroyed emails were about Chelsea's wedding and yoga classes, or they would show the corruption and cover-up of Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. Would you not like to have the truth, whatever that truth is? If somebody is falsely accused of murder and they face the death penalty, does it really matter where the evidence comes from to prove them innocent, even if it comes from somebody who hacked into a computer? Hillary Clinton has been accused of massive corruption, using her State Department position to enrich the Clinton Foundation. And she admits that she wants open borders all across the world, which would flood us with refugees that she herself has said we cannot verify. She wants a socialist country, a country that you and I would not even recognize. Do you really care where the evidence comes from to prove the charges against her or disprove? If you do, you're part of the problem. Consider this about the women who claim that Trump groped them 30 years ago. One says she was upgraded to first class on a plane next to Trump and that he was groping her all over. Would a sane person not scream for a flight attendant? Another passenger on that same plane says it never happened. Another says that she was in a nightclub. She's sitting along beside Trump, who was there all alone, and that he began groping her. First of all, we have no evidence of Trump ever going anywhere alone. But do you not scream for security if something like that happens? It makes no common sense not to. Now, another one had to read from a printed script to accuse Trump of groping her. You cannot speak without a script about such a thing happening? All of this coming just 3 weeks before the election, when people like Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim and George Soros are willing to pay women to join the parade. It's ludicrous. If you were too afraid to come out with this 30 years ago, when there might be some proof, when you were afraid of publicity, and yet you're willing to come forward now in the greatest public light imaginable, does that not cause us all to have concern about truthfulness? Now, I'm going to speak of Islam and radical Islamic terrorists today. But first, I wanted to remind you that our country cannot exist without a biased, dishonest media. WikiLeaks, dropped last week of John Podesta's emails, showed that many in the media are actually advising Clinton's campaign and on occasions have fed her questions to be asked in the debates. Remember how bubbly Clinton was in the first debate? Much like somebody who knew what was coming? NBC leads the Clinton parade, and it's shameless. The others, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, follow right behind. Now, I've resisted calling for a boycott of anything in my 52 broadcast years, but I will boycott NBC and every sponsor on it. Their Inside Edition and Access Hollywood shows are a nightly torpedo of Trump with no mention of Clinton or her email scandals. I'm going to beg you today to ignore the mainstream media. There is no question that Donald Trump has said some vulgar things, and I do not agree with that. I do not condone it. But Democrats had no problem when Lyndon Johnson was known for his trashy mouth in private, and both Bill and Hillary Clinton have said things in private, or so they thought, that were equal to or worse than anything Trump has said. Hillary uses the F word like dogs use a bark, and Bill does not just speak evil, he acts on it. And phony Democrats like Michelle and Barack Obama place Bill Clinton on a pedestal while accusing Trump of far less. My point is this. Our country is in trouble, deep trouble. One of the two candidates will be our next president, whether we like it or not. And it is far more preferable to follow the course that Trump has laid out versus the socialism that Hillary will bring to the job. She blatantly tells us that she wants to open up our borders to the millions who will flood in to receive benefits, while she admits they cannot all be checked out or vetted. You think wages are low now? Wait until that flood sweeps in. Hillary wants a one-world government. She has no idea how to create jobs to get our economy running. She and Obama have corrupted the Justice Department and the FBI, and it will get worse if she is elected. Her own campaign manager said in an email that Hillary lies too much and that it is obvious that she hates average, ordinary Americans. She sees herself as above us. Can't we see that without any fairness in government, no checks and balances through the media, we cannot continue to exist as the country you and I have known? If you're tempted to not vote at all, please reconsider. If you stay home, you're making it easier for the most devious, unethical politician in America to take her corruption into the White House. I also urge you to vote for Republicans down the ticket, because if Hillary were to get in and has control of the House or the Senate, we are back to Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi days. In North Carolina, that means voting for Richard Burr. His opponent, Deborah Ross, is the former head of the ACLU in North Carolina and is off in her own liberal world of fantasy. In a word, her thinking is dangerous. Hillary's campaign has railed against Catholics and Protestants. Despite her weak words, Hillary Clinton is against Christianity and against American values. For 30-plus years, she has promised and never delivered. Are we dumb enough to buy that again? Lastly, on this subject today, it was just revealed that Hillary Clinton got $12 million from the King of Morocco for the Clinton Foundation by promising to attend a conference there while Secretary of State. Clearly, pay to play. Then, Hillary sent Bill and Chelsea after she discovered that it would hurt her chances to be president if this got out. Well, it's out. Now, for the past few weeks, I've been doing research on Islam and its followers. I give credit to Dr. Majid Rafazadeh and World Religion News for their insight. Why is radical Islam a danger to America? The liberal mainstream media has long portrayed a picture of moderate or good Muslims versus extremist Muslims, radical Muslims. This narrative has been institutionalized in the thinking of Western Muslim scholars who advocate for Islam as well. This has led to the thought that Islam is an ideology and religion of peace, because a majority of Muslims fall in the category of moderate or good Muslims. Let me point out that when Hillary Clinton attacks in defense of Islamic extremists, all Muslims who truly want peace should be offended. We are not at war with Islam per se, but with those in Islam who choose to follow the Quran literally. We were taught in school that the Quran has descended word for word from the Creator, Allah, through Muhammad. This is accepted throughout the Muslim world. If we take this speculation as accurate information of Islam, then every Muslim is supposed to follow Allah's verses exactly in order to be a good Muslim and to be considered a representative of the real ideology and religion of Islam. Secondly, if we take the assertion that the Quran is made up of Allah's words as being true, then Quranic verses must be followed for eternity. No changes are allowed to Allah's rules and words, because Allah, as Muslims tell us, is perfect and His knowledge is absolute. As a result, His words cannot be relative, and every word He utters or reveals should then apply at any time in human history. In fact, even Muhammad himself repeatedly said that two things a Muslim should follow are the Quran, the words of Allah, and the Hadith, Muhammad's teachings. He ran that last one in there after the first two. By that definition, real, true, and good Muslims who represent Islam are people such as Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zahiri, and the like, because they follow the Quran and Allah's social and legal rules word for word. While Americans are listening to the right and left toss around accusations of abuse of women in America, Allah specifically says this: men are the maintainers of women, because Allah has made some of them to excel others, and because they spend out of their property. The good women are, therefore, obedient, guarding the unseen as Allah has guarded. And as to those on whose part you fear desertion, admonish them and leave them alone in the sleeping spaces and beat them. Then they will obey you. Do not seek a way against them. Surely Allah is great. That's from the Quran, chapter 4, verse 34. That verse is not open to interpretation. It clearly says what a man must do with a disobedient wife. Women under Islam are objects, not real people. Other Muslims who obey some of the verses and disregard others cannot be called good Muslims, representatives of Islamic theology, or even true followers of Islam, based on the Quran and Muhammad's teachings. Now, this is not an indictment of all who call themselves Muslims, but proof that you cannot follow the dictates of the Quran and Muhammad and not have consequences. I'll give you some examples. Chapter 5, verse 33 of the Quran reads this: the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and strive with might and main for mischief through the land is execution, or crucifixion, or the cutting off of hands and feet from opposite sides, or exile from the land. That is their disgrace in this world, and heavy punishment is theirs in the hereafter. So you must not resist soldiers of Islam. That's the message. Chapter 4, verse 3 of the Quran says this, If ye fear that ye shall not be able to justly deal with orphans, marry women of your own choice, two or three or four of them. But if you fear that ye shall not be able to deal justly with them, then take only one, or a captive that your right hand possesses. That will be more suitable to prevent you from doing injustice. Again, in chapter 33, verse 50 of the Quran, it reads this way, O Prophet, we have made lawful to thee thy wives, to whom thou hast paid their dowries, and those whom thy right hand possesses out of the prisoners of war, whom Allah has assigned to thee, and daughters of thy paternal uncles and aunts, who migrated from Makkah with thee, and any believing woman who dedicates her soul to the Prophet, if the Prophet wishes to wed her. This only for thee and not for the believers at large. We know what we have appointed for them as to their wives and the captives whom thy right hand possesses, in order that there should be no difficulty for thee. You see, the Quran speaks in absolute terms. There is no in between. And it begs the question of whether anybody can be a true and good Muslim with violence. For various reasons, the fundamentalist view of imposing some or all of the Sharia law has grown in America. This fundamentalist view itself has significant human rights problems, such as apostasy and religious intolerance, and its treatment of women. But the larger problem is that the extremists themselves gained some legitimacy as a byproduct. Although Islamic countries do not yet enjoy widespread democracy and representative government, Islam's tradition of equality, its notion that the state serves the community, make free government naturally compatible with its beliefs. However, if the extremists can get other Muslims to believe that the United States is the great Satan, then they can get them to believe that freedom is not valuable, that toleration is not necessary, and that brotherhood is not required even of Islam. Our policy ought to be that all people of all religions who fulfill their religion with devotion, charity, equality, and concern for others will be celebrated and protected, but that any person, whether in the name of religion or socialism or history, who seeks to take over a state and turn that belief into an ideology which terrorizes and kills innocent people, they're our enemy and the enemy of religion. In the Christian Bible, John 16th chapter, verse 2 through 3 says this, A time is coming when anyone who kills you will think that he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. As we watch radical Islamists slaughter innocent people in the most heinous ways through their perverted view of Islam, John's words are true today just as they were when they were uttered. Radical Islam is a propaganda concoction of the Islamic world, created specifically for the purpose of deceiving the West by covering Islam's ugly, violent face with a beautiful, peaceful mask. More to the point, radical Islam is the guy who charms his way into your home, posing as the gas company inspector, and who then proceeds to duct tape you to a chair and rob your home. Even more to the point, how many Major Nidal Hassans must arise and shoot up army bases in obedience to Islam's prophet before the Western world awakens from its politically correct state and finally recognizes the myth of radical Islam. If the deep thinkers who have been baptized into godless liberalism believe that radical Islam is merely a result of the Islamic world's deep-seated revulsion with so-called Western imperialism, then they need to know this. The Islamic world has had a deep-seated revulsion of all things not Islamic since the 7th century. Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel tells us that if there is such a thing as radical Islam, then Islam's prophet Muhammad was a radical, because he claimed that Islam's judgment day could not occur until all of the Jews had been removed from the face of the earth. Here are Muhammad's own words recorded in the Hadith concerning his peaceful intentions toward the Jews. The last hour will not come until the Muslims fight against the Jews, and the Muslims will kill them until the Jews hide themselves behind stones and trees. The stones and trees will say, "Muslim, the servant of Allah, there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill him." Well, the Jewish people are not hiding behind stones and trees. And how peaceful does that sound to you? Muhammad uttered that peaceful statement in the 7th century, long before the so-called occupation of Palestinian land by Israel in 1948, when the United Nations declared Israel a sovereign nation. 1,800 years after the Roman Emperor Hadrian had renamed the land Palestine in 130 AD, when the Romans quashed Bar Kochba rebellion. So Islam's modern Jew hatred has nothing to do with occupation and everything to do with the fact that Islam's prophet Muhammad declared war on the Jews after they declared him to be a false prophet in the 7th century. The so-called Palestinian people are an invention of the Islamic world, created for the purposes of destroying Israel. The so-called Palestinians are a mixture of Arabs, Egyptians, and Bedouins, just as the Iranians are a mixture of Persians, Pashto, and Kurdish. And yet, the world continues to embrace the lie that the Palestinians are an indigenous tribe that tracks back thousands of years. The late Yasser Arafat, an arch-terrorist and the founder of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, was in fact an Egyptian born in Cairo who had been remade into a Palestinian by the Islamic world for propaganda purposes. Now, considering Islam's tolerance for non-Muslims, here's what the Quran teaches. O ye who believe, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. They are friends of each other. And whoever among you takes them for a friend, then surely he is one of them, meaning non-Muslims. Muhammad's definition of those who wage war against Allah and his apostle encompasses anybody who resists Islam, from Jews and Christians to pagans and even atheists. According to Islam's prophet, Allah encourages Muslims to murder those who reject Islam, in stark contrast to Christ, who encouraged his followers to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. This from Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. The sons of Christ's heavenly Father, then, are those who forgive and who extend mercy to their enemies, while the sons of Allah are those who persecute and murder their enemies. The rise of Islamic fundamentalism is a direct response to the moral decay and depravity in the Western world, and particularly in the United States, which is viewed by the Arab world as a Christian nation. And the growing militant homosexuality, secularism, atheism, abortion, assault on marriage and the family in America, is seen by the Islamic world as Christianity being weak and a corrupt religion that has lost its influence. As such, the Islamic world views Americans and the Western Europeans as cowardly and morally weak, unwilling to defend themselves, and thus ripe for an Islamic invasion. In the Islamic world, might makes right, and proselytizing is done by the sword. It is no coincidence that terror plots have sprouted like weeds through America since Barack Obama became our president. And it is no coincidence either that the United States has been suffering heavy casualties in Afghanistan since Obama's election, because Obama is viewed by the Islamic world as militarily weak and unwilling to stand up to terrorism. If Obama's Attorney General, Eric Holder's awful decision to hold a civilian trial for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is any indication of Obama's total ignorance of Islamic fundamentalism, we are in more serious trouble. In Revelations chapter 13, verse 8, the Apostle John said this: "All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, the Antichrist, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb Jesus Christ, that was slain from the creation of the world." The coming Antichrist will deceive the world into submission through the promise of freedom rather than the threat of violence and death. And so the world will rise up against Islamic fundamentalism and take steps to do away with the Islamic clerics and mosques that promote hate and violence as the way to advance religion. They're doing it right here in America. We used to monitor those mosques and those imams, but liberalism forced us to stop. Peace is what fools many, and a world weary of war and religious violence will be willing to follow anyone who preaches peace, even if it results in their eternal damnation. Of the Antichrist, the ancient Hebrew prophet Daniel warned us with this: "With flattery, he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, forsaken Christ and God's commandments. But the people who know their God will firmly resist him." Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. It was Christ himself who said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. "All who draw the sword will die by the sword." Matthew chapter 26, verse 52. Barack Obama has shown that he is either a Muslim or the greatest Muslim cheerleader since Mohammed. Hillary Clinton refuses to acknowledge, as does Obama, that Islamic extremists are at the heart of terrorism. She wants to open our doors to them, even as they tell us that they are coming in among refugees and will wait for greater numbers before unleashing their terror upon us. Anyone claiming to be a Muslim, or anyone else who does not acknowledge Islamic extremism, is a danger to our country, someone who cannot be trusted. If a Muslim is not an extremist, they should be considered as the rest of us. The sword has been at the heart of Islam since the days of Muhammad. We ignore that at our own peril. Now, again, I'll be speaking tomorrow night at Holt's Lake Barbecue in Smithfield at 6:30. I've lived an interesting life, some 53 years in broadcasting, but some 74 years on this planet. It's not always been easy. In fact, in the beginning, it was extremely rough. It was time when you had to consider that there was no hope. But there's always hope. And that's what I hope to get across when I speak at Holt's Lake Barbecue. I'm going to be going back into my life and revealing some things that are hurtful, things that I have repressed for a long, long time. But it's necessary to show everyone that if you keep your belief in God, if you are willing to work hard and listen and learn in America, you can be a success. You might not be a millionaire, a multimillionaire, a billionaire. The money part is not the answer, but you will be a much happier American. And so I'll be spreading that news tomorrow night and again on the 27th of October. But that one is sold out at Hope's Lake on the 27th. You might be able to get in. I think there may be a handful or even less seats available. So if you want to go tomorrow night, call WTSB. You must have a reservation so they'll know how many meals to prepare. 919-934-6789. That's the number to call. And folks, November 8 is going to determine where we go from here as a nation, what the future is going to hold for our children and our grandchildren. It's not something to take lightly. It's not something to decide because somebody said some naughty words. Look at what they have done. There's a record there. In the case of Hillary Clinton, 30 years, and she has nothing to show for it. Vote. Regardless of who you vote for, do vote. And God bless America.